the VAP video. Good evening, everyone. So my name's Jamie McMillan, and I am the Youth Associate here in Carnmoney. And today is Youth Vision Day, which is a day we take to celebrate what and tell stories about what God is doing in our children's and youth work. This morning at our 11 o'clock service, we thought about Sunday school, and there was loads of stuff happening. And that's a little video which the Sparklers, our youngest section in Sunday school, put together about what they've been learning about prayer. This evening, we're focusing on the work of Fusion, our Sunday evening stuff with teenagers. And our theme for Youth Vision Day this year is Everyone Gets to Play. And it is our belief in our youth and children's work in Carnmoney, and indeed our belief in Carnmoney as a whole, that in God's kingdom, everyone gets to play. Everyone, regardless of age, regardless of ability, regardless of background, regardless of appearance, everyone gets to play and to play a valuable role in who we are as God's people. I have to say that Fusion this year has been different, I think, than what I was expecting, than what the team was expecting. We have had 134 individuals through the doors this year. Over 50% of them are people who have never been to Fusion before, and most of them have never been to Carnmoney before. We have had 8 teenagers beginning a relationship with Jesus for the first time, and we've had many more teenagers coming up for prayer for different things to do with what's real in their lives. And I know that in an unexpected twist, our Sunday evening service has really become, in a lot of ways, the front line of a new thing God's doing with young people in our community. And I just really want to, at the beginning of this service, thank you if you've been coming here on a Sunday night and things have been maybe a bit messier than they usually have been. And I just want to thank you for your support. It's been amazing. I want to thank you for the conversations you've had with new teenagers who've come through the doors of a church for the first time. And I want to thank you guys, and I want to thank our elders who have done an amazing job just really supporting this new thing, which we weren't expecting. So like I said, we've got some stories for you this evening. And just now, we're going to welcome Jody and Lewis to the stage. And they're exceptionally nervous, but they're going to come up now. So Jody did like a runner like 10 minutes ago, but we managed to get her back. So, and that's not a joke. So, okay, Jody, we'll start with you. No. Okay, so Jody, could you maybe first of all just tell us a little bit about who you are? Let everyone here know who you are.
I'm Jody Reid. I'm from New Mills. I go to Glen Gormley High School, and I'm 15.
You're 15, okay. So you've been coming to Carnmoney Church since the end of November. I think you've missed one Sunday evening in that time. So could you maybe just tell us, why did you start coming? And maybe more than that, why did you keep coming?
Right, it was raining one night and there was nowhere to go. So we all come in to get shelter, and then I actually like enjoyed the music and all. So like I just kept coming because everyone was really welcoming and all, and they just made me feel welcome and all.
Okay, and beyond church, did you start going to Fusion as well, the stuff on the Sunday evening, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so you started coming at the end of November, but something happened at our Christmas carol service about a month into when you started coming. So could you maybe tell us what happened at the Christmas carol service?
Just seeing like all the Christians and all, and like the way they were all like getting on and singing and all, it just made me think, I want to be that sort of person, and then I became a Christian.
Okay, and how did that happen for you?
I told you and Lindsay, and then you took me to Jean, and Jean said a wee prayer for me.
Jean did her thing. Jean said a wee prayer. Okay. So I guess you're at the beginning of this journey, Jody, of finding out what it means to be a Christian. But could you maybe tell us some ways coming to church, your new faith, has changed your life?
It hasn't really changed me that much, but like it's made me feel like a better person.
I think you explained it to me that on the outside, it seems that things are still...
Yeah,
but on the inside, you feel like a different person?
Yeah.
Okay. And what are your hopes for your faith going forward?
I just hope they understand like what being a Christian is and like becoming a better Christian and understand it all more.
Okay, brilliant. You can pass the microphone to Liz, okay? Okay. So, Liz, same question to you. Introduce yourself to all these lovely people.
Right, I'm Liz Osborne, and I'm originally from Rathcoole, but I moved to New Maltsey, and I'm living back in Rathcoole.
Yeah, and I think you told me a statistic or a fact about your life. So I've lived in one house since I've been born. How many houses have you lived in?
About nine.
Nine houses, but you can remember? Oh. Yeah, okay. So maybe if you get any family, anything like that.
What is it?
Any family?
What do you mean?
How many brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters in that?
Seven brothers and sisters.
Okay. And who's your favourite?
None of them.
Okay. So how did you start coming to church, Liz?
Same way as Jodie did. She says to me one day because it was raining, and then we came up, and then it was actually good.
It was actually good. And why did you keep coming back?
Because it was good crack, and then it was something to do.
It was something to do. Okay. And beyond church, you do some different other things in church as well. So could you tell us about that?
I do mentoring with you and Jamie Neish.
And what's mentoring?
Somewhere that I go to talk to you two and have a game of pool and stuff. Get a cup of tea now.
Okay, so you're not a Christian yet, Lewis?
No.
But could you maybe tell us about any experiences you've had of prayer or of God since you've been coming?
Well, when I first started coming here, something happened to my family, and you and Lindsay prayed for me, and it was great.
Yeah, and you've been prayed for a few times since, yeah?
A few times, aye.
And would prayer have been something you would have thought would be a part of your life before you started coming here?
No.
No?
Well, yeah, sometimes, but then when I came here, it was more.
It was more? Oh. Okay. And one more question. So same question I had for Jody. What would your hopes be? What would you like to get out of coming here?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, that's an honest answer anyway. All right. You have never spoken in public before, sure you haven't?
No.
Okay, are you just relieved it's over?
Right.
Yes, okay. Body language instantly changing. Okay, so next up we have Jamie. So keep your applause going for Jamie. So. Okay, so Jamie, same question. Tell us all a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jamie McMinn, and I'm 17. I go to Ballyclare Secondary School, currently, and I live in Carmony. Two brothers, yeah.
Okay.
About it.
So, again, similar to Jody and Lewis, you haven't been about Carmony that long. So, how long have you been coming, and how did you get connected?
I started coming in about August. Me, Robbie, Panda, Jack would come down here whenever the new building was getting built, just to skate and stuff, because it was a nice ground, so we would come and skate. And then we met you one day whenever you were coming in, and they introduced me to you, and we got to talking and stuff. And then a few weeks later, Fusion started, and that was just late August. So I've been coming since about, they sort of round it off since September, so that's about 10 months.
Okay, so you didn't really go to church before here. I think you told me, Jamie, the last time you were in a church building before September was 8 years before that for a family wedding. Yeah,
my uncle's wedding.
For your uncle's wedding. So as someone who wasn't a Christian and someone who described themselves as an atheist, how did you find all this?
Well, whenever I started coming, I was coming to the services and coming to Fusion and just getting to know people and talking away to everybody. And from the first night I went, it didn't feel like not normal. It was really normal. It just felt like I didn't feel unwelcome. It didn't feel like alien in any way. It's just I was coming and it felt just natural. After a few weeks of coming, it was just good.
Okay. And in November, something happened. So you came with a couple of mates. Can you tell us what happened in November?
In short, Panda became a Christian.
So Panda's real name is Ryan, by the way. So how did you feel about that?
Well, it didn't. I was really happy for him. We all were, but I wasn't really kind of in a mindset where, oh yeah, I need to do this. It just I was really happy for him at the time, and it was good to see. And it was, like I said, I was happy for him, but like I didn't feel myself that I would need to be in a rush to do it myself.
Okay. So at that stage, you weren't thinking this is something for you yet. But then in January, something happened. So could you tell us about that?
I became a Christian.
You became a Christian. So can you tell us about the process that led up to that?
Like, in short, I had had a bad weekend. And I'd been coming for that stage about since August. So that's a good couple of months. Can't really do it that fast in my head, like the amount of months. But yeah, so it had been coming there from August, and it was January, end of January, last Sunday of January, and it's just, I remember you were doing the kind of service in Fusion, and it was at the end of Fusion, and you were talking about people becoming Christians, and you said if anyone was going to be repeating the words to themselves, if they find themselves doing it, to come and talk to you, or come and talk to one of the leaders. And by second nature, I found myself kind of repeating it to myself in my head. So I was sitting with Robbie at the time in Panda, and I turned to Robbie and I just said, "Yo, I think I've become a Christian here." And he was like, "No way." And I was like, "Yeah."
Awesome. Okay. So right from like day two, I think we started mentoring either the next day or a week after, yeah?
Yeah, it was the next week. I came and talked to you about it.
And so you're a new Christian. What did we start looking at in mentoring?
The Book of Revelation.
The Book of Revelation.
It started off as Genesis, and then you mentioned Revelations, and me and Panda kind of thought, yeah, let's do that. And it's been a journey. It's been a journey.
It's been an awesome journey through Revelation with Jimmy McMillan. Okay, Mondays are wonderful. So, I guess, Jimmy, you've only been about a few months, but a lot's happened in that time, and you made a decision to become a Christian in January. But I'm just wondering, in these last 9 months, in what ways has church changed your life?
It's impacted it positively. Like, I would never find myself overly sad about anything or overly worried, because I just know that there's a community here that would be there for me. And that's just anybody, the leaders, my friends, just anybody at the church I can talk to. Even if I don't even know them, you could just walk up and you can have someone be there for you and be kind enough to say a prayer for you. And I just know that there's like always someone listening, God, like he's there for me. And if anybody else isn't, if like I'm ever having like an argument with a parent or something, they don't understand, I know it's not really, doesn't really bother me. I'll complain about it a lot, you know yourself. I'll complain, but no, I know there's always people there for me.
Awesome. And one last question. So you're doing something on the 11th of June. Could you tell us what that is?
Getting baptized.
Getting baptized in Carnphonic. So everyone's welcome to come to that. So Jimmy, that's it. You can relax now. You did brilliantly. So round of applause for Jimmy McMinn.
Thank you.
I'm back up again. I'm not going to sit in one of those seats because I'll probably fall off it because I'm that clumsy. Another round of applause for all those guys. That was so good. My heart is so full tonight. So good. My name's Caitlin and I'm one of the young people here as well. And I am apparently going to be speaking to you tonight about the vision that we have for young people. I'm just so excited for it. Like Jimmy said, this year at Fusion has been crazy different. It's been crazy different than what we've expected it to be, but it has been such a good year. And it's just been a year where God has just been moving so crazy. And there's just been so much of his presence with us, and we're just so blessed for that. And we're just so thankful that this is something that we all get to be a small part of. So tonight we're going to be thinking about the fact that everyone gets to play, I think. It's going to come up on the screen. But it's basically just a passage from Romans 12 that we're going to be thinking about. And the main focus is basically a verse in it that we were sort of, whenever me and Jamie were looking at it, we just felt a real sense that this is where God's pushing us. For the vision for youth, and this is sort of where we want to be at, and just something that we'd just love you all just to get on board with and support us with. So it's from Romans 12. I don't know if it's going to come up on the screen or not. Is it? Yay! Okay, great. So yeah, Romans 12 then. For by the grace given me to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. So, pretty long passage, pretty beefy. I'm not going to go into all of it, don't worry. And like I said earlier, we're just going to be focusing in on one point, and that's that everyone gets to play. And we sort of find this in verse 10, which is honor one another above yourselves. So I guess just to do that, we're just going to go in and dissect that verse, I guess. So first word of that then, honor. So according to dictionary.com, a very reliable source, I promise, in relation to this verse, to honor someone is just to basically actively respect them. Which, I mean, it's not that hard to do. I think as Christians, it's something that you kind of pick up on, and it's something that we're quite good at. But I think the key word that changes everything is above. So honor one another above yourselves. Because, you know, if it wasn't important, Paul could have just left that right out, but he kept it in there. So you have to focus on it and pay attention. So I think Paul's essentially telling us that you have to respect one another above yourselves. So I guess that's just sort of recognizing that the full focus doesn't have to be on us all the time, and that we shouldn't be pushing people to, you know, out of the limelight to the back of the stage. And we should be putting others, we should be honoring others above ourselves and realizing that we aren't, I guess, the full focus. But then I guess the difficult question is, who exactly are the one another's that you have to honor above yourself? That was a mouthful. So yeah, obviously in the full scope and the grand scheme of everything, Paul refers to one another as literally like everyone, hence the tagline, everyone gets to play. Yes, works well. But a couple of verses later, he then goes on to say, you know, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And maybe I'm clutching at straws trying to really just get this talk to work, but I just think that, well, I feel anyway, a really strong sense that as Paul's talking about the different members of Christ's body and the different gifts that everybody has, that he's including everyone in that. And by everyone, he's including the people that are sometimes really horrible people, and they're sometimes really bad people. They come from a really different background than you do. The house that they left today is maybe not a happy one. And people who have got broken families, they've got messed up homes, people whose future seemingly, they just don't, it's bleak, you know. People like this, and Paul's including them in that, you know, everyone gets to play, regardless, as Jamie was saying earlier, regardless of ability or age or background or position within church. And I just think that this is something anyway that I feel God's really calling us to be aware of, you know. You have to honor one another above yourselves. You have to honor the one another's that sometimes you feel bad for because of their background, maybe, because of the way that they get on, because of where they come from, maybe. I'm a bit emotional tonight after all the, like, I'm just really proud of those guys, and it's making me a wee bit emotional, but I really do just get this sense that Paul's saying, and that God's saying, that this is something that we need to be so wary of as a church, that we have got maybe a lot of the one another's coming in, and this is something that we need to take advantage of, because it is, it's a blessing, and it is an advantage to our church. And I just feel a real calling on my heart anyway for that, just to be wary of that. Okay, because we're getting a wee bit sad, if funny example to prove that sometimes as Christians and just as people in general, you want to honor the people that you think are worthy of honoring rather than honoring and respecting those that are maybe not worthy of it. A couple of months ago, Prince Edward came to my school. And I can't remember why he was there, but he was there. And I just heard that a member of the royal family was coming, and I was like, please be Prince Harry so that he can, like, see me, fall in love, and we can run away together. That didn't happen. He's still with that actress, but sure, whatever. Yeah, so it was this, like, huge deal that Prince Edward was coming because, I mean, it's Prince Edward. Like, this guy's important, and he's a prince, and he's very honored in this society. So my school were going, like, mad. Like, there was, like, fancy flowers everywhere. There was, like, the chamber choir in singing for him. It was mad. Like, everybody was going all out trying to impress this guy and show him that we are, like, we are honorable. We are worthy. Like, come and see us and see how great we are. But there's only like a select number of pupils that got to meet him. There was maybe like 20 people who got to meet this guy. The rest of us were literally locked in our classrooms for the whole day. And like, when I say literally, I mean like literally for 6 hours, I was stuck in a classroom, not allowed out because what if Prince Edward seen me and was like, oh, that person goes here? Like, this girl's awful. Though, like, I exaggerate, but we were locked in. It was a big deal. But I just think that shows that, you know, that sometimes you want to honor those that you think are worthy of honoring. You want to honor the ones that are going to bring honor. So it's easy to honor those who are deemed honorable above yourself. But whenever it comes to the one another's, whenever it comes to the dishonorable ones, it's so much harder to do that. I think Paul's really actively telling us that we need to honor those considered dishonorable to the world. Because everyone gets to play. And everyone gets to play because God is all about radical grace. And then the church should be about radical grace. And also, we honor the dishonorable, like worldly dishonorable, because as Christians, do we not worship the one that was considered dishonorable whenever he was in the world? You know, Jesus himself was considered cursed just because he was crucified and because of what Jewish custom said about that. There's that verse in Galatians 3 that says that is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse. So, in effect, we worship the cursed one. We worship the one considered dishonorable. But we do this because we know resurrection happens. You know, we were singing it earlier that Jesus will rise again, and he did. And that's why we worship him. Because we know that he dissolved the curse then. And I'm just sort of thinking that if we choose to honor the dishonorable, just the same way that we choose to worship the dishonorable one, because we know what the end has in store for him, what could the end have in store for those considered dishonorable, you know? And I think another reason that we need to sort of honor the dishonorable is because everyone needs God, not just those who are dishonorable. Everyone needs him. It doesn't matter if you're the minister or pretending to be the minister. If you, like Jody, just came in because it was raining and you were like, that place, it won't be wet and I'll be dry in there. Or if you've been coming here for your whole life, everyone needs God. And it just comes back to the fact that we all need his radical grace. We all need his undeserved grace and honor that he pours out on all of us. Because it comes back to the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. But isn't it exciting that we get to worship somebody who, regardless of your age or your ability or where you came from or where you're going in life, that we all get a taste of this radical grace and that we all get to play? And that's just something that we're really excited about, just sort of launching the vision today. We're so stoked about the fact that we have such a huge group of new people coming here. And it is a blessing. And we're really aware of that, that God's telling us this. And I would just love, as a response, just to sort of, I guess, showcase this. So basically, if you are a young person, you have to come up to the stage now. Why is no one moving? Come. Power goes straight to my head. I love it. Right, if you're young, come up to the stage and hurry up. Just like come along the front. Along the front. The front, not the back, Deborah. Stand in. Young people, yes. Spread down, guys. It's okay. Okay, so basically, this is... Okay, there's Jodie coming up now, sweet. Amy Lee, come on up here. You know you want to. Oh, please. Oh, there she is. What a star. Great. So basically, this is some of Fusion. This is some of your youth. Some people really hate teenagers, and in extent I can agree, sometimes we are walking disasters of like mistakes and mess and hormones, and we're awful, and I get that, but sometimes we can be pretty cool and we can be okay. So what we would love to do as your young people is to pray with you as our church. So basically, if you are in any way passionate about young people, if you're involved with young people, if you want to be, or if you just want to come and pray with us, we just want to invite you now just to come forward, and we would just love to pray with you, and you can pray with us, and it can be like a little prayer group that's happening. I think as a church, we're so blessed to not have like a weird generational void thing going on, and the fact that we do have such a varied age of people coming here, and I think that's something that we need to take advantage of as a blessing from God. So whenever the band are going to start playing, just come forward, and we would just love to pray with you and have you pray with us as your young people. And don't be scared if there's like a couple of us around you. Like wild animals, teenagers do better in packs. So essentially, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think I've told any of them that this is happening. I've just like roped them into it. So sorry about that. But yeah, so that's just what we'd love to do as a response as your young people. So come forward if you'd like to pray with us.